This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing back a returning guest. Last time he was on my show was last month in March. I'm talking about St. George's Echo Mining Corp. You can find them on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol SXOOF. And if you're up there in Canada, you can find them under the CN, if you will, under the ticker symbol SX. With us today is the Chief Operating Officer and Director of the company, Mr. Frank Dumas. Frank, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me again.
Before we get started on the Q&A, I just want to know, could you possibly give us a pulse on the health of the company going forward?
Well, things are looking good internally, at the very least. We are making strides. The technology is moving the right way. We're mobilizing teams in three different jurisdictions on the exploration side of things. We're fully financed. These campaigns will be fully financed. The development of the technology is fully financed. We are, at this point in time, signing one NDA on average per week with potential partners and clients or joint venture partners mostly on the technology side. And for us, as long as we're able to manage this, as long as we're able to integrate these people and then deploy with them, that shows that we should have some very interesting development or business development in the next 2-3 years.
Any thoughts on uplisting to the OTCQB?
Yes. So you probably saw that we gave some updates on this in our monthly report and monthly progress report and in different press release over the last 2 months. We have finalized the documentation. It's with our lawyers in Colorado. And should be, if it was not today, will be probably before the end of the week, provide to the OTC markets. So we're expecting to initially get listed on the OTCQB, and as soon as our financials, audited financials statement will come out probably between now and the mid of May, we should uplist to the OTCQX. So that's going to make a big difference. I have probably an anecdote for that. We got a person from Singapore that contacted us via our website and said, look, I don't understand what's going on because I see that you're able to extract 100% of the material out of battery. I really, really want to buy your shares, but my broker is prohibiting me from buying it. And the OTCQB listing is going to fix that.
You know, cobalt, lithium, graphite, very hot elements right now worldwide because of the EV movement. That being said, where are you guys at in the process of feasibility studies and the works going forward, especially on your nickel exploration? Go ahead.
Well, I could talk about both in sequence. So let's talk about the feasibility study. This is really linked to the battery recycling initiative. And on that side, we expect that we're going to have a preliminary out, first report, in early June. So that's pretty fast. If you look at it, it's less than 6 weeks. And then by the end of the month of June, we should have a first first dissemination or first disclosure of the findings of the feasibility study. That involves a few big names. We have hired WSP to do the engineering review of the process. So if you look at it, the actual patent or the intellectual property itself is being reproduced into it. And what we do is we process into a pilot plant environment, so a simulate industrial environment, the process. We process battery with them, looking at it as it's being done, and they will certify that this technology works the way we say it works. And then what comes around is all these other companies. We have hired lobbyists to look at environmental permitting, to look at allocation for from a sovereign or governmental related entity that have the mandate to collect batteries, to collect commercial batteries for the governments and dispose it. And we're getting certified. We think that we should get certified within the next 2 weeks with these agency and become an official suppliers for different government in North America. So we're looking about 70% of one of the entity we're dealing with or we're in discussion with handles about 70% of the volume in North America, and becoming certified with them is going to be very important for us. And that's one of the things that's about to be complete. And so that final feasibility study should be out, I would say, mid-July, and that's going to allow us to have a go or no-go decision on the plant that we've been talking about. And if it's a go decision, then we're looking at probably processing the first few batteries by the end of 2021 or the first quarter of 2022. Yeah, no, I said it's a pretty short schedule. And if you want, I can probably just quickly give you an update on the nickel side also.
Go ahead.
We just received the budget from the independent contractors yesterday. We got our first presentation with them. So we're probably going to file for permitting for drilling and for all the surface work at the Manicouagan project early next week. Usually it takes between 30 to 60 days to get from everyone from the government, the environmental ministry, and the First Nation to give their comments on that type of permits. We will be able to move right away. These permits really related to the drilling part. We can still do trenching. We can do surface work. We can rebuild the camp over there and that kind of things without that permit. But we also going to hire a First Nation consultant with us that will handle all that portion. And we expect to probably have some meeting with the tribal council in the month of May to accelerate the process. So on that side, that's a $4.5 million budget for this year, and that money should be all spent between now and the 1st of October. And that will give us a good idea. We're looking, and that's even some element that we were not certain necessarily at the beginning, but we're looking at probably connecting two known showings that we have on that project. So in between, there's 5 kilometers. There's a 5 kilometers by 1.5 kilometers corridor that has a conductor that's been identified by geophysics. It's been also confirmed as mineralized from surface sampling. And I would be surprised if we don't have, then again, you know, it's still exploration, so you never know. But I'd be surprised if we don't find some connectivity between these two showings, which would make that project a very, very interesting project, a very prospective project, and a very large prospective project. On the Julie project, which is the second project that we have closer to Bécamo on the Quebec North Shore, this project, we have done the geophysics, first parts of geophysics about 3 weeks ago, just before the temperature change. Now we're not allowed for 2 weeks to bring heavy equipment on that road because of the frost and defrost period. We should be able to get back there by the early to mid-May and finish that work, and we expect that we'll be drilling there by the end of June. So that's another one that we have a good idea, and that's another almost $4 million budget also. So these are significant budget. The money is all there. The money is segregated for that. And we hope that we're going to come up with a resource estimate on both projects from that size of effort. It's pretty significant.
I want to switch gears. Last time you were on the show, we talked about the battery market and your subsidiary that's handling that. Where are we at during the feasibility study on that, and how are we going to move forward?
So we are probably, I would say there's two. We've done the feasibility study the same way that we have done the research up to now. So we've used multiple labs in order to protect the intellectual property so that they could do portion of the process, but that no single lab could have the whole process in front of them so that they could reverse engineer it before we file for all the patent that we expect to file. And So we're doing the feasibility study the same way. So we went to get a reputable tier one engineering firm that will do the process itself as if it's in the black box. So the whole part from the, when you open the door of the plant, of the commercial plant, and when you actually ship the product on the other side. So that black box is done by them, and that has been started. And we expect to have the report by the end of May, early June, so probably the first week of June. And there's two big elements left on our side that we might modulate in terms of do we put it into this feasibility study or not. These, if we're able to deliver on these two elements that we discovered recently, that will be an additional, each of them is an additional game changer for us, like drastically reduce the cost of recycling batteries. You mentioned, for example, you mentioned graphite earlier. If you look at the test that we divulge, or the text that we disclosed earlier this week, we talk about the LIF battery, or the lithium iron phosphate. Mm-hmm. Now, so we've without telling anyone, we went on and got our hands on some of these batteries, and not going to tell you from which company because they don't know. But we were able to synthetically reproduce these batteries, the mix that they're using, using their recipe. And we know that we can easily take out the iron out of it. It's very cheap as a process to do so. We get the lithium, 100% selectively leached in the solution. So then after that, it goes into our normal process of purification and extraction through the resin portion. And we also are able to get the phosphate on one side. And the thing is, for most people, recycling these batteries right now makes no sense. Because, yes, you do have the lithium, and the lithium is interesting, but you can mine lithium, you can mine iron ore, and there's way too much phosphate for the needs right now of most markets. So the reason why it's interesting for us that we are able to selectively leach and put it aside is that you know, it just shows that we won't have an output that we have to deal with and send to a landfill just to produce the lithium out of this equation. One of the elements that's interesting is that we can probably produce an iron pigment that will be of a quality interesting enough to be sent to a paint manufacturer, so as a paint pigment. And that usually commands a higher price for that material. Going back to the reason why I mentioned graphite is kind of the same thing. A lot of the other company have mentioned the results with the cathodes in the battery, in the electric batteries. You have the anodes and you have everything in between also. And people should start to look at these things as what's your total cost of production with the total battery recuperation schematics. Because if you have to send that material from the cathode and everything else to a landfill, then you just raise your cost. And that's important. That's part of your analysis of who's going to be profitable with these things and which technology is going to be profitable. We're able to actually recuperate the graphite. We didn't know that until the last announcement that we made. Actually, we knew that a few days before. But I mean, you know, we didn't do that until recently. And that's important. And that might actually be even profitable, but it's not the goal. The goal is to break even on these products, have somebody take them off our ends so that we don't increase our costs by having material that we need to send to a landfill that becomes just an expense for us in that process. So we're still at a place right now where it's still more profitable for most people, for most process, to produce graphite directly from mining than from recycling. And we're getting very close to a level where might be profitable for us to actually recycle the graphite. And that's a game changer.
Frank, we've got about a little bit less than 1 minute left, and I want to get to one or two of my questions. One, you guys are definitely gathering a lot of attention through this process you guys are using. But more importantly, are there any new partners on the horizon?
Yes. That'd be probably the only way I can answer this. There is definitely other people coming to the table. Like I said, we're looking at about one, maybe two NDAs or non-disclosure agreement being signed by different actor in this field every week now. This is looking good for us, and I think that some of them will probably come in way earlier. There's mandates right now, projects that I'm monitoring on a daily basis to see if they're going to hit that milestone that right after that they need to negotiate with us, and we need to disclose a deal with them. So that's to answer your questions, we expect people to come to the table. There's a lot of people coming to the table right now, at least to have discussion with us.
Well, Frank won't say this, but I'll say it. The company is grossly undervalued just in a retrospect to its peers, if you will. Market cap should be valued around $100 million. Right now, I think your market cap is sitting around $41 million. Stocks at 27 cents. These are my personal opinions. Everybody should do their own due diligence, but I think this company is a huge buy at these levels. Frank, I want to thank you for stopping by. I know you're a busy guy doing you got a lot of things going over there, a lot of moving parts. The company that we're highlighting today here on Stock Day is St. George's Echo Mining Corp. You should take a look at them. You're looking to put a great technology / lithium nickel company in your portfolio. You should be getting on the ground floor of this one around 27 to 30 cents a share. They trade on the OTC markets. Ticker symbol SXOOF. And if you're up there in Canada, you can find them on the CN under the ticker symbol SX. Frank, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you, sir. Cheers.
Bye.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.